and verse 15. And the Lord said, was speaking to Ananias, the aged disciple, and giving him the mission for Paul. Remember, at this time, Paul was still blind, but Ananias was to go and lay his hands on Paul and pray, and he would be healed. I like the testimony of Brother Jesse about healing. Was that good? And you could see the Lord touching. There was a mighty move of God here, and God was touching different ones, and you were getting under the anointing. You see, a good, fresh anointing that was coming in here tonight. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a, notice, he is a chosen. You have to pay attention to the words. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before, one, the Gentiles. And he did that, didn't he? Two, and kings. He did that also. He fulfilled that mission. And the children of Israel. And he bore it, and when the children, some of the children, or most of them, rejected it, he said, from henceforth we go to the Gentiles, in Acts, the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. And then it goes on, said, he said, God said, I will show him how great things he must, notice, suffer. That's a lot that goes with when God calls you. Through much affliction, much suffering. But the suffering brings out the God that's inside of you. Do you understand? It you grow through afflictions. The Israelites in Egypt, the more they persecuted them, was the more they multiplied. So affliction does not destroy you. It causes you to grow. And it's called, Paul calls it our light afflictions. I was upstairs and it dawned on me, our light affliction, which is but for a moment in comparison to the eternity to come, the everlasting to come. Our light affliction, what you go through now, in Hebrews 11, how the saints went through a lot. See, but it was a light affliction comparing to the exceeding weight of glory that is to be revealed in us. Yes. That's the glory of God that is to be revealed in us at the second coming, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you have to know the Bible. See, this book was given to us so we can stand here like these brethren stood tonight. And every one of them and explaining and glorifying God and using it to bring glory to God. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Can you bear that in mind? Ananias went his way, obedient, and went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, had sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, well, you ought to shout about that. You see how quickly God works? And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. What a quick work. Do you understand how God was preparing this man as an apostle to the Gentiles? We're blessed of God. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days, notice what he did now. He spent some time. He didn't just get saved and went out the next day with all that knowledge he had, but he didn't just go and preach. He spent time among the disciples. Amen. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples. He went to church. He's going to church. That's how you grow. Fellowship. You can never have so much that you don't go to church. And verse 20 says, and straightway, oh, I wish we would do this. See, that's what I'm trying to focus on and let this church understand now, that you have to have a message. Jesus is your message. Material things is not our message. We don't even talk about that in here. Amen. We don't make an offer. You give this, you get that. We don't have that doctrine. Do you understand? Yes. Our doctrine is Christ in you. Amen. The hope of glory. That's what we preach. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ inside of you. Yes. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all things shall be added. Whatever God gives us, we are satisfied with that. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Oh, you ought to get this in your spirit. Get this in your heart. This ought to be a revelation. Look what he had. I mean, he left Jerusalem to Damascus to persecute the church. And now what was he preaching? He was against the name of Jesus. But look what he's doing right now. And straightway, when that scale fall off your eyes, that blindness, that ignorance fall off our eyes, and we begin to see clearly, when we begin to see Jesus, you cannot help but preach in Christ. And he says, straightway, and straightway, I'm trying to let you understand how powerful this is. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue. Oh. That he was the Son of the living God, the Son of God. And go on a little bit there. But all that heard him were amazed. People couldn't understand. Here, what's the change that was in this man? He came to persecute, to destroy, to kill. A short while ago, a man was stoned, and he kept the clothes of those that, the garment of those that was stoning Stephen. And now, what Stephen died for, what he consented to the multitude to stone Stephen for, now he's preaching it. What happened? What made the difference? What made the change? What made the change in a person out there that was under the influence of the world, the influence of the devil? But when he or she comes in contact with a man called Jesus, they're different. A change comes in, and they have a revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, he's not this he that destroyed them which call on his name, or on this name in Jerusalem. Word get around, don't it? You don't have to go tell people that you're changing. Or I'm a Christian. When you're a real Christian, it cannot be hidden. Somebody's going to know. You can't cover it up. He says, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came here either to for the same intent to destroy the church, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul, while they were guessing, they couldn't figure it out. Look what was going on in the heart of Saul in his life. But Saul increased the more in strength. Why did he increase in strength? Because he believed Christ. He preached Christ. Amen. And when you preach Jesus, he is your strength. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. Wow. One man confounding a religious group which dwell at Damascus. No. He went to persecute the church. He got a letter from the Jews, from the priests, to go and persecute the church. Now look what he's doing. Look what has happened. When Jesus comes in, now he's defending that which he was about to destroy. And now he's confounding those that the side that he was on, the Jews. Now he's confounding them in Damascus, right? Proving that. This is what you have to understand. You've got to get the message right. You've got to have the word of God that you can stand and prove that Jesus is the Christ. He's wanting to say, but now can you prove it? That's why you need a church. That's why you have to be taught. That's why you have to have the message. He was proving that Jesus was the very Christ. In other words, how did he prove it? By the scriptures of the prophets. He went and showed them from the Old Testament that this was he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. For unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given. He proved that this was Emmanuel, God with us. He proved that this was the wonderful counselor. Somebody help me. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He proved that this was the very Son of David, the seed of Abraham. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jew says, this man is dangerous. He's destroying our religion. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But remember what God had called him for. His work wasn't finished. I mean, he was just getting started. But the laying await was known. God revealed it. God will reveal your enemies. God shows us that when the devil thinks he's got you, when he comes in like a flood, the Holy Ghost is there. The Holy Ghost will lift up a standard. When the devil tried to come in and sneak in and hold the service down, what happened? I can hear a sister over there shouting glory. Like Brother Jesse was saying, a shaking. God doing something. Their laying in wait was known of Saul. No weapons that's formed against you shall prosper. And they watch the gates day and night to kill him. When you begin to live for God, you wear your enemies out. Amen. You'll utterly cast down principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. I mean, that's awesome. You know what they use the basket for, right? That's grocery. And how could they kill Paul? Because he was grocery to the Gentiles. They put him in a basket and sent him away. I mean, God has a sense of humor, don't he? And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the church, but they didn't believe. I mean, they're afraid of him. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how your testimony is important. How he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. What a testimony. What is your testimony that you're saved? You're now preaching or testifying or singing boldly that Jesus Christ is Lord. If this church ever get bold, then you know what? We just keep it to yourself. You see what God do. God's getting ready to do something, but you've got to have a mouth. Ask God for boldness. Instead of just when you meet together, you're talking all kind of stuff. Come on. Begin to, in his law, do it, meditate day and night. Begin to talk about the Lord. That's what you ought to do. Begin to speak about Jesus day and night. Witness. Tell everybody about Jesus. But you talk everything else. And we forget to speak about Jesus. And he was with them. Notice now. Coming in and going out. But some of us, we might see you go out and you don't come back. I mean, what? You know, always going out. Some of you always going somewhere. You might come in one, but you have more going out than coming in. But not so for Paul. That's why he grew. That's why he was such a mighty man. He came in. And he was a monk. In other words, they couldn't go back to that verse. They couldn't get rid of him. And you got to get rid of nobody. They can't get rid of you at a church. Oh, how I love the house of the Lord. I was glad when they say unto me, if you've got more absent than present, but Paul, was with them. And he was with them. Come on, did you get that? Did you see that? Huh? No. He stuck with the disciples, forsaking not, that's why he could say, forsaking not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Look at this man, a young Christian. But he had a foundation under him. He wasn't always gone and mostly gone and absent. He said, and he was with them coming in. Every time church was open, you could see Paul coming in. And going out with them in Jerusalem. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The church has got to be where that when the door is open, you're going to be in church. When they look around and they can see you going in. Amen. Do you understand how to serve God? Yes. Coming in. Yes. And going out. But if you have more gone, you'll never grow. You've got to be in church. You've got to fellowship with the saints. He said that he was with them coming in and going out. And verse 29 says, and look what happened. A boldness came upon his life. A godly boldness came upon his life. And he spake boldly in the name, hallelujah, of the Lord Jesus. and disputed against the Grecians. They couldn't stand his wisdom. They couldn't stand his wisdom. And when people cannot stand the wisdom and knowledge, when you get it in your heart, they'll talk about you. But that don't mean nothing. They'll say you're wrong. They'll say you're gone overboard because you don't think like them. You have a new language. And your language is the revelation of Jesus. Boldly. You have insight into the word of God. And they spake, he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. And they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarshish. You see how God getting him ready and getting him in line? When things happen to you, you think that God don't like you. Why is this going on? What's happening to me? But if you can understand that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. If you can see that God has called you to that ministry, if you can see that that is the will of God for your life, if you can see that through it all, you're going to come out on the other side blessed of God. Then the verse 30 says, we had that, right? They brought him down to Tarshish. 31 says, then had the churches rest. No, notice, the persecutor. The persecutor. Now the church is at rest. Throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And look at what's going on now. Edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. I'd like to have a church. I'd like to see the churches get back to that. Not just a big crowd in church, but notice they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. What a church. What a church. Do you see how that church that came out of the upper room drove the Apostle Paul in, and then it went on through Peter and Paul and the other disciples to the Gentiles? Look what went among the Gentiles. A church that was edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And they multiplied even as far as the Gentiles. You ought to shout. And it came to pass. Is there another verse? Come on. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. Did you see how busy they were? How quickly they were moving? He came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydia. The early church, look how fast it got out from Jerusalem. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. That means for 8 years, the poor guy didn't get up. Everybody got to take care of him. And he was sick of the palsy. Then Peter, notice how powerful this is. Then Peter said unto him, Aeneas, somebody shout, come on. Don't you love that name? Don't you feel that name? What a name. What a name. I mean, here was a man sick of the palsy for 8 years, took his bed, couldn't do anything. Until Jesus came by. Until he heard of a man called Jesus. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, notice, not Peter, not Paul, not your church, not you, not me, but there's one name. There is one name above all names. I said there's one name above every name. Demons have to bow. Disease, sickness has to bow. And we have that name tonight. That name is among us. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Savior, the anointed God, the anointed one, make thee whole. Arise, get up, arise. See, God's not going to do anything for you until you begin to respond to the word, to the command. I mean, he's not going to bless you until you begin to clap your hands, begin to pour your mouth. You think you're just going to sit and close your hands? Nothing's going to happen in the church. It's going to be a dead church unless you open your mouth and lift your hands up, begin to praise God. And as Brother Jess was, stamp your feet. And get that benefits, bonus. Look at all the benefits. Here's a man didn't know the benefits he had. He didn't even know he was. For 8 years, he lay there crippled and helpless, depending on man to help him. But when Jesus comes, he breaks the spell of your dependency. Where you don't have to depend on men, but your trust is in God. And when you trust in God, you will be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. I mean, this scripture, I feel like shouting. He says, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, make it thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. He got up right away and began to clean his house up. Woo! Hallelujah. He began to make his bed, wash his dishes, clean his house. For 8 years, it didn't clean up. So Peter says, man, go clean your house. Go clean your bed. Go make your bed up. Go get those linen off, those dirty linen, and wash them. What do you think he did? For 8 years he lay there, and how many times that smelly old, you know what I'm talking about? The foul odor. So Peter said, get up and go clean your house up. Get up and, that was a nice way of, go take a bath. Wash your dishes. Get the cobwebs off. So do something. God wants this church to rise up. Because we've been sitting still and hearing, but now it's time to give it out. Begin to let everybody know. Tell them about Jesus. And all that dwell at Lydda and Sharon saw him. Whoa, hallelujah. And turned to the Lord. Here's what Peter says, man. Clean your house up as a testimony. Change your clothes. Look good, man. Go look down. Get those raggedy garments on because you're going outside. You're going to let everybody see what Jesus has done. You're going to go outside in the street and they all know that you were sick. But they're going to see you walking and leaping and praising God. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple's name, Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Now notice, I want to show you how powerful the early church was. How it reaches into temple worship. The measure, the stature of the fullness of God growing up in Christ in all things. Look at what they've done. He says that this woman, notice, she was full of good works. So some of you sisters can walk up to her and shake her hand because you're full of good works. But if you don't, you won't want to shake because she's going to ask you what you've done in the church. Well, I got served. Or were you a servant? So it says that the woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Because if he delayed, they would have to bury her. I mean, look at faith. They were expecting a miracle. They washed her. That just means that they prepare her for burial. But they didn't bury her. When they heard that Peter was just at the next town over, they said, we're not going to bury her. Go call Peter. And God's going to do miracles where that old dead church, God's going to do something and going to begin to wash it. Yeah. Not for burial, but for the resurrection power of Jesus to begin to work in the church. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them.
But Peter put them all.
There's going to come a time you got to put the widows out. I don't mean, you know, you. I mean the widows out. The one that loves sympathy. Just showing the good works. Look what she's done. Look what she's done. And Peter, at discerning, and saw that all these things are hindering. You know what? He had to put them out. I mean, do you know that there were some of those people got their feelings hurt? It's not easy to tell people the truth. And Peter put them out. But Peter put them all forth. Why did he do that? Look at that. They were there weeping and showing on the garments that they make. And I mean, what she did, picking up the cloth and all she done, you know. And they were not praying. So, I don't want to say it. You say it. You can't go into Sunday morning service without prayer.
That's right.
And pastor, if he come and put you out. When you want to operate and begin to show the garment and how talented you are and how beautiful you look, he put you out. And I don't mean outside, put you to sit down. Peter put them out. What a church. Do you get that? What a church. Because they were not, they were hindering. They had no faith. Their minds was natural. Carnal. Worldly. They couldn't see nothing else. So Peter put them out. And he did what they should have been doing. I mean, when the pastor come to church, he shouldn't ask you to pray. You should have been already prayed. He should feel that fire and that power of God. If you're going to have, if you're going to have temple worship. Peter knelt down and prayed. And turning him to the body said. You see how God's going to resurrect the church? Through prayer. And through a man of God, a man of God, and women of God, a ministry that has the word of God, that can put all of those crybabies out. And then he's going to turn to that body, the church. But he's going to be prayed up. It's a prayed up ministry. And he's going to turn to that dead body. And said, Tabitha. Faith Mission Ministries. Arise. Come alive. You got to put out all of those crying babies and put them down. And we want men and women that can turn to the body. And have the power and the boldness and the anointing of Jesus Christ, where you can say to that dead church, that dead body, arise. The good works is good, but it's not good enough to keep a church alive. Paul said it. You could give your body to be burned, but it takes something else. And Peter says, Tabitha, arise. And she open her eyes. But she didn't open her eyes while they were crying. Or while they're showing off her the work that she did. It's when the church got to praying. And the authority of God turned to the church and put things in order. She opened her eyes. She began to see. And she sat up. And she saw a man of God. She saw a ministry. She didn't cry. She didn't see those weeping, crying babies. But she saw a man of God that's full of authority. And has power over sickness, power over death, power over disease. In my name. The name of Jesus. She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And let me begin to close this now. And he gave her his hand. And lifted her up. And when he had called the crybabies, the saints and widows, see now? Now? Call them. Presented her alive. So, the church has to come alive. But through a ministry. So, in other words, it's not showing off what we've done. The missionary program. How much you've given. What you've done for the church. That's good. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to take a dedicated praying church. To get the church alive. And be ready for Jesus Christ. It has to be a church that's meditating. Abiding. In the branch, I mean in the vine. The branch in the vine. While a psalm says, while I was musing, the fire burned. And if we can get a church that can hit the prayer room and pray. But what do you do? What do you do? You know, most people don't pray. They got something else. The prayer room don't mean nothing. See? So they come and weep and show off their garments, their good works. But that doesn't work. It's a church that know how to bend the knees. Oh, somebody help me. You put everything out. Do you understand what's going on? You've got to get rid of everything out of your life that's not of God. If you want to see God move, you're going to have to begin to strip, get rid of the things that the outer man, the natural man, the carnal man, get rid of it, put off the whole man. These deeds. And put on the new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message that Paul took among the Gentiles. And the ministry in Ephesians 4. When we get into that, to put off the old man. Now when the church fell short. In Revelation 11, is because they were still clothing with the old man. They were not putting it off. But we have to put off that old nature. And arise from what? From the dead. Did he say that? And arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So the church is going to put off, come alive, awake, and they're going to see a powerful ministry with Jesus Christ as the head. With Jesus Christ as the head of the body. So, in closing it out, he gave her his hands and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. If you could get that picture. If you, in other words, you can be weeping and crying and yet you're not touched. That's not godly sorrow. But now when they came in, the next verse says, what is the next verse? And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. My, my, my. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. And then that's when right over in chapter 10, Cornelius, the ministry is going to begin to go to the Gentiles. Is it amazing? A powerful ministry. Where before Peter, by the time he couldn't even get through his message, the Holy Ghost come down. That's a powerful ministry. Amen. So we thank God tonight for the word of God. And praise God. There's a powerful ministry that God has given.